/1x1. My name is Sophia Schwebel, your son Hawkins, and I like to serve as a peace sign by soul. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the son and daughters of your Schwebel now entering sanctuary. I now present one of the son of Israel Abel, Buzz Eli Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My topic today is trust in Yahweh. Now, if you could turn over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 through 10. It's on page 901. Page 901, that's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9 through 10. And it says, "Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this came to pass that we might not trust in ourselves, but in Yahweh who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death and will deliver us, in whom we trust that he will continue to deliver." Now I looked up the word trust. And it means to have confidence or faith in a person or a thing to believe into. When we trust in Yahweh by keeping his laws, we have his protection. If you could also turn over to Psalms 91:2, it's on page 470. Psalms 91:2. And it says, "We say to Yahweh, you are our refuge and our fortress. You are our Father in whom we will trust." We trust in Yahweh when we believe into the one sent. Praise Yahweh. If you could turn over to Yochanan 6:29, on page 821. "And Yahshua answered and said to them, 'This is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him who he has sent.'" Believing into the one sent, Yeshua Hawkins, is doing Yahweh's work. We have to set our mind in advance that no matter what, we will trust in Yahweh by believing into the one sent. Now in the first book of Yeshua, chapter 3, verse 8, it's on page 15, and it says, pastor says here, "The house of Yahweh is actually built on prophecy, and it's for the believers, so they can have confidence and trust in Yahweh. What Yahweh wants you to develop in your mind is trust in him. That is what Yahshua preached. He said, "The reason I show you these things in advance is so that when they come to pass, you would know there was a prophet among you, and this was true. Then you can trust in Yahweh forever." If you could turn over to Isaiah 44:26, it's on page 558. And it says, "I am the one who carries out the word of his servant and fulfills the plan of his messengers. The one saying of Jerusalem, 'She shall be inhabited,' and of the city of Yada, 'They shall be built,' and her ruins I will restore." Now, even when Yeshua Hawkins was arrested, as you can see in this picture, he was trusting in Yahweh. We need to be the same way. In the seventh book of Yeshua, part 2, chapter 27, verse 41, pastor says, let's go back over to Matthew 18. The wise, the ones who will do this, put their trust in Yahweh, put their trust in the one who is sent. Don't let that change. Don't let somebody change you. One of the priests this week said, you know the trouble with this person. They can only remember what the last person told them. And if the last person was talking against the house of Yahweh, that's all they could remember. They don't remember any of the things that they were taught, that they learned in the house. We can keep ourselves from falling into this trap by putting our trust into, that is, believing into the one sent by Yahweh for these last days, Yeshua Hawkins. If you could turn over to Isaiah 43:1, and it says, but now this is what Yahweh says, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Yisrael. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Let's skip over to verse 10, and it says, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, so you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God El formed, nor will there be after me. In conclusion, brothers, Yahweh assures us that he inspires and confirms the words of the one he has sent, his chosen, Yeshua Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. We must put our trust in him because Yahweh promises us that this will bring us in an eternal, joyful position in his kingdom. May I bless you, and if you all please stand.
For our first speaker, a son of Israel, Abel, White Buffalo Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My topic today is how easy it can be to usurp authority. And I wanted to bring this speech because a lot of times we usurp authority and we don't even realize it. So today, I would like to tell you what usurping authority is and how we can avoid it. In the Webster's New World Dictionary, Volume 2, usurp is to take or assume and hold power, position, rights, etc. by force or without right. This is the same exact thing that Satan did. In this wonderful Yeshua Hawkins Says program, I looked up usurping authority, and from the second book of Israel, going on to perfection, chapter 46, verse 6, it says, this sermon is the last of the going on to perfection series. I think I am going to name it the curses that come with usurping authority that is not yours, and the curses that come from neglecting responsibility that is yours. I think that will pretty well cover this sermon. In the second book of Yisroel, going on to perfection, chapter 46, verse 111, it says, Lucifer started usurping authority, and the angels followed with her. Yahweh allowed them to completely destroy the earth where it was uninhabitable, where it was full of misery, hatred, suffering, disease, and ignorance. Then he started from there to build his family, which he had planned in the beginning, before he allowed the Malachim to take over the earth that we are living on right now. In the Going On to Perfection, chapter 46, verse 7, it says, If you remember in Genesis 3, we were discussing Satan, Lucifer, the authority she took, and how others followed her in her rebellion. Now, if they hadn't followed her in her rebellion, then Yahweh would never have had to allow man to suffer 6,000 years. The fact is, mankind followed her in her rebellion, so did the Malachim before mankind was created and put on the earth. The Malachim followed her and brought the earth to destruction. If you notice there, Pastor said that mankind followed her in her rebellion. If you would turn to Yadar 1 verse 11, it's a very familiar scripture. It says, Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for reward, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. There are other scriptural examples of people usurping authority. For example, if you would turn over to 1 Samuel 15. And let's start at verse 13. It says, Then Samuel went to Shaul, and Shaul said to him, Blessed are you of Yahweh, I have performed the commandment of Yahweh. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Shaul said, They have brought them back from the Amalekites, because the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your father. The rest we have utterly destroyed. Cherem. Then Samuel said to Shaul, Cease speaking. Then I will tell you what Yahweh said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were small in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes in Israel? Did Yahweh not anoint you king over all Israel? Now Yahweh sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy Cherem, those sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh? Why did you pounce upon the plunder and do evil in the sight of Yahweh? Then Shaul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh. I went on the mission which Yahweh sent me on, and I brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed Cherem, the Amalekites. But the people, notice, he's trying to blame his disobedience and his usurping authority on the people. He says, But the people took the plunder, and the sheep, and the oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, Cherem, to sacrifice to Yahweh, your father, in Gilgal. Then Samuel said, Has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same as iniquity in God worship, the worship of Elohim. Because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected you from being king. If you would turn to 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. And we'll start at verse 16. It's on page 305. It says, But Elisha said, As surely as Yahweh lives, before whom I serve, I will accept nothing, even though Naaman urged him to take it, he refused. So you can see here, Elisha had gave a commander of the army of the king of Aram instructions to cleanse him from his leprosy. And so he was not accepting the things that Naaman urged him to take. If you skip down to verse 19, it says, "Then he said to him, 'Go in peace.' So he left and traveled away from the land. But Gehazi was his servant, he was the attendant of Elisha, the man of Yahweh said, 'Behold, my ruler was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not receiving from his hands the gifts he brought. But as surely as Yahweh lives, I will run after him and get something from him.' So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running behind him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and asked, 'Is all well?' He replied, 'All is well. My ruler has sent me saying, truly just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. May you give them a talent, about 75 pounds of silver and two sets of clothing.' But Naaman said, 'Take two talents.' So he urged Gehazi to accept them and tied up the two talents of silver and two bags along with two sets of clothing. He handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of him. When he came to the Ophel, elevated stronghold, he took this from their hands and stored it in the house. Then he released the men, and they left. Now he went in and stood before his ruler, and Elisha asked him, 'Where have you been, Gehazi?' He answered, 'Your servant did not go anywhere.' Then he said to him, 'Was not my heart understanding with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to accept money or to receive clothing, olive groves, vineyards, sheep, and oxen, or male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and your descendants forever.' When Gehazi went out from his presence, he was leprous, as white as snow." In these scriptures, you can see that there was curses, there was consequences that came from these men usurping authority. In this wonderful, peaceful solution, character education program, in the grade 5, unit 5, lesson 3, it tells us that authority can be stolen when we ignore rules and boundaries set for us, and when we assume authority by instructing someone that we are not responsible for. In conclusion, if you would turn to Hebrews, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, it says, "Obey those who have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they who must give account. Do your part, so that they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So let us obey the authority. Let us not steal authority and take it that is not ours. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the great Kahan, Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh, great house of Yahweh. You may be seated. Wow, here we are again. May the peace of Yahweh truly be with each and every one of you. If you remember where I left off last week, this is the last thing I showed you. Remember that? The new moon was on the 17th. By the way, did everybody get to see that wonderful prophecy film about the City of Seven Hills? The Vatican Bank and all the crimes that are being committed and the filth that's emanating from that city. It's causing a world of problems that are fixing to blow up. What I would like to do today, you know, it was really, really awesome that the great son of Israel, Abel Barzillai, talked about trusting in Yahweh, and he talked about how Yahweh confirms the words of his servant, Yisrael Hawkins. Okay, now, you know, After today, I know I say this a lot, but after today, you should have your full trust in what this man says, because Yahweh is confirming the words of his servant. It's like immediately now that these things are coming forth that he's bringing out. And you'll see him in the news, and you'll see him in other things. But keep your eyes open, because these things are coming to pass at a rapid pace. Now, last week, if you remember, I left off in Yochanan 21. Let's turn there real quick, just so I can remind you of something, because this also ties in with this. I'm not done with this particular passage here in Yochanan 21. We talked about disciples fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, which was the Sea of Galilee, and Simon Kepha and six others. There were seven men that went back to their old jobs, went fishing. And I left off right before verse 11, because we talked about a certain number. Does anybody remember what that number was? 153, right? Okay, so in verse 11, so Simon Kepha went up and drew in the net full of large fish, 153 of them. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. But, you know, there's a significance as to why he told him to cast that net on the right side. And remember, in fact, if you would go to Galatians real quick, Galatians chapter 2, let's look at verse 9 on page 911. It says, "And understanding the," this is the Apostle Shaul speaking, "and understanding the blessing given to me, Jacob, Kepha, and Yochanan, who seemed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship." The right hand of fellowship. Now you remember what the right hand signifies in Scripture. You know, working together with, being a right hand man, upholding everything that Yahweh says. And Yahshua did that. He was the ultimate picture of perfection, reflection of perfection, upholding all things that were spoken in the law and the prophecies. And, you know, when Yahshua told him to cast that net on the right side of the boat, you know, we can't do things our way. It has to be according to Yahweh's way, or we're not going to have any success in anything that we do. I don't care if you're in business or in the work of Yahweh, whatever you're doing, you need to do all things, you know, according to what's being taught by the house of Yahweh and the guidance that you receive from the house of Yahweh. So there was 153 fish in the net, and I hope you all caught that, you know, that the 153 signified, remember, the 17, the triangle with the 17, showing the innumerable way of that number 153. Everything comes back to it. And you know, Yahweh has a plan to bring multitudes to this house. And as Pastor said in the prophecies film on Wednesday, on the 17th, you know that he's the greatest teacher in the world, but soon now we will all be the greatest teachers in the universe. Okay? It's awesome, awesome. And if you think there's an end to that, Isaiah 9:7 says, "A peace, there will be no end to it. And the increase of his government, there will be no end." There are billions, trillions of stars out there. It's not ending. The universe is growing. It's expanding. There's plenty of room for everyone. So be fruitful and multiply. And that's what we do. We're teaching, like the word fish. Remember, fish meant in Hebrew, it meant to multiply. You know, by teaching, by setting up shepherds, as Jeremiah 23 showed us. Okay, now, Pastor, last week, what I would like to do, I'm going to get into my this week's sermon. I just wanted to brush up a little bit about last week. But in Yochanan 21:15, this has a lot to do with verses 15 through 19, what we're going to talk about today. But if you could play the clip from last week in Pastor's sermon.
This great racehorse, you know, that they got. Well, most people would never see the meaning of this, see? This great racehorse. You know, at a time when I said we're running a race. We're in race with Satan. We're going to overcome Satan. We're going to overcome this world. But this horse, it's a pretty easy name to remember, you know, Pharaoh. Pharaoh, what does it mean? Anybody know what the word Pharaoh means? Nobody? It means a great house. It means a great house.
All right. Praise Yahweh. We get to see the greatest teacher in the world before the greatest teacher in the world gets here. That's always a joy. Now, that term Pharaoh, as he said, let me show you here. This is from Wikipedia. Pharaoh, just to give you an idea of, here's what it looks like in Egyptian hieroglyphics right here. And it means great house. Okay, great house, as Pastor said. Now let me read you, it says, from this pertinent portion, it says, the term Pharaoh ultimately was derived from a compound word represented as, or written by those hieroglyphics, and with specific reference to the buildings of the court or palace. Can you write that word palace down, please? From the 12th dynasty, now dynasty, that word dynasty means lordship, dominion, power. Okay, that, so when you hear the word dynasty, you'll know what that means. And that's what they called the rules of the pharaohs. They called them dynasties. From the 12th dynasty onward, the word appears in a wish formula, great house. May it live, prosper, and be in health. But it was not speaking about a house of people when they gave that wish. It's speaking about the palace itself. Okay, not the people, but the palace. The royal palace. Okay, now that the Pharaoh lived in. Okay, now, no sooner did Pastor bring that out that Yahweh confirmed the words of his servant. Now, I would like to play. Let's go to the first. Let's start with the first slide. First slide. Now, this picture was taken by one of Yahweh's diligent women in the house of Yahweh on 6/13, 6/13 last week, 2015. And the picture time was 7:42. Now, there were some rumors going around that this picture was taken on 6/13 at 6:13. Quash that from your memory. Now, if you take a picture, please, you know, be diligent in getting these things turned into the proper authority so that there isn't rumors going around of false information. Because I want you to remember something about these pictures that are coming up in the clouds. These are a teaching from Yahshua. And if we get this mixed up, if we get it wrong, we're actually teaching falsehood. Okay, so you need to be very careful to make sure that you turn pictures into the proper authority as they did in this case. But some other people somehow got a hold of it and word was going around and I heard about it. And I had to investigate it. And that's what we do with these pictures. They have to be looked at. They have to be investigated. We have to get this thing right because these are messages and every number is very important because that Yahshua is trying to show us something with these signs. Okay? So just remember to turn them in to the proper authority. Now, show the slide again, please. So what we see, if you can zoom in on it, can you show the next slide? It's a white buffalo. Can everyone see just the white portion part? There's a great white buffalo. You can see his tail coming off the back. You can see his head. His head's kind of turned this way. But that is called a white buffalo. And that was taken at 7:42 of last Sabbath on 6/13. So, of course, the starting point with this would be to look up 7:42 in Strong's Concordance, which I did. And I'm going to show you that definition right here. Strong 7:42, and it's the Hebrew word of phoxad. That's the third son of Shem in Genesis chapter, I believe, 10. It's spoken about. And it means stronghold of the Chaldeans, which is Babylon. Okay? Stronghold of the Chaldeans. And, of course, it shows he's the son of Shem and the ancestor of Eber. Eber, remember, was the father of the Hebrews. That's where the word Hebrew came from. Okay, now it's also from 775. Okay, there you see that name again. And it means, I shall fail as the breast. He cursed the breast bottle. Now this is going to come in real handy when we talk about Romulus and Remus here in a minute, and the teachings that they're being fed at this time up from the seven hills of Rome. Now, keep those definitions in your mind. Also, let me show you this. This is another, gives you a deeper definition of the term arphoxide, right here. You can see that? It means Babylon's fortress, but I will make Babylon fade away. Okay? Everybody got that? Babylon's fortress, but I will make Babylon fade away. This is the message coming straight from Yahweh and Yahshua that's being shown in the clouds. That was on 6:13. Now, just on the 17th, on the day of the new moon, that evening we went to spot the new moon, I was looking in, reading about Tropical Storm Bill. Can we have the next slide? Now, this is from my San Antonio homepage, and I want you to notice down at the bottom, it says, waves crash along a seawall, and I want you to think about walls and Babylon and how Babylon's walls will fall as Tropical Storm Bill bears down on Palacios. Write that down. Palacios. That's Palacios, Texas. On Tuesday, June 16th. Now, this article is from mysantonio.com. On June 17th is when I found the article, as you can see on the top left under the word tropical. It says June 17th. But the picture that you're seeing here, this little caption down here, tells you that this picture was taken June 16th. And it's very important. We got to know exactly when these things are taking place so we can get this just right. And Yahweh never fails to deliver. Can you show the next slide? Let's see what was in that wave. Now, look straight ahead. Look straight. You'll see the seawall. Just look straight ahead. You're going to see a man looking right at you. Can you zoom in on it? Next slide, right there. That is Buffalo Bill Yisrael Hawkins looking at you. Okay? You see him? Now, if you have a hard time seeing it up on the screen, get with me afterwards. I'll show you the picture. It's crystal clear. This one's not even like the first wave where it showed kind of like an animated look of a face. This one is an actual image of Yisrael Hawkins when he was younger. Okay? Bill Hawkins right there looking at you. Okay? He's in that wave. Now, let me show you the next. Can you go to the next slide, maybe? Okay, back. Okay. This was taken on 6:16. And Strong's Hebrew 6:16 means a prisoner, and it's from 6:15. Next slide, please. And that word means prisoner, prisoners, and it's from, 6:31. Can you go to the next slide? Now, if you remember, all these numbers were, or these words were given before 6:15, because remember the rainbow that we saw at Passover, and the number 6:15, pastor saw it at 6:15 in the evening. You all remember that? So all these should be in your mind, these definitions, but we're refreshing our mind. It's from 6:31, and 6:31 means, well, actually 6:15 is from 6:31, means captive, bound, prisoner. Next slide. Oh, actually, stay right there. And it means, 6:31 means to join battle, to bind fast, to harness. You remember harnessing the harvest song that we learned the last feast? But also make ready, prepare, join battle. Now remember, there's two races being run right now, right? Get this in your mind. There's the race of the pharaohs, and then there's our race to the kingdom. Our race, you know, there's the nuclear baby that's coming, and they're all both going to be born at the same time, okay? The nuclear baby's going to be born, but a nation's going to be born too in one day. Y'all believe what Yahweh said about that? Okay? So there's two, you know, when you read these definitions to join battle, right? Or to prepare or harness, remember the two races when we're reading this. Can you go to the next definition? Next slide. So I went to the Hebrew and looked up 6:16, and it's from 575 and 2949, and it means to bring forth, from the womb give birth to. Now remember, think of the nuclear baby, but also think about our holy nation, the royal purple priesthood that's going to be born in a day. Think about these things in your mind when you're seeing these. Next slide. This is number 2949. Now get this. It means to swell with young, like a pregnant woman. And it also means to billow and wave. Wave. As a wave swell, especially of the sea or of a lake, of impulse and restless men, tossed to and fro by their raging passions. Now, we don't see any raging passions in the world, do we? You know, church shootings, all kinds of crazy madness going on, right? We don't see any of that going on. Can you turn over to Luke chapter 21 with this in your mind, this wave, this waging? And actually, if you remember last week, go to Luke 21, please. It's found on page 808. If you remember last week, in the blue bonnet picture, actually one of the definitions that came from that was roaring of the sea, the wave and the roaring of the sea. Keep that in your mind. Now, let's look at Luke 21, verse 25, speaking of the sign of the sun, sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress among nations in their perplexity. You know, they can't find a solution to their problems. They're perplexed. They don't know what to do, you know, about these things. At the roaring and surging of the sea. Now, turn over to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. You should be able to find that. And we're going to look at verse 15, because here we have a definition of what these waters and what this sea is. By the way, remember, when Solomon built the temple, there was a big sea with 12 bulls holding it up. Does everybody remember reading about that? The Great Sea, it was called. It was called the Great Sea, and there was 12 bulls holding that up, okay, representing the 12 tribes. But it was a great sea representing right here in verse 15. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits, where the Catholic Church sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Okay, so like Pastor told us before, whenever we see these words like sea, it should be like boing, multitudes, nations, languages, tongues. Boing, multitudes, nations, languages, and tongues, right? If that helps you to remember. Okay, now let's see. Also, Daniel 7:23 from your notes. Now remember, there's a roaring and the surging of the sea going on in the world, but there's also another roaring taking place. Let's go over to Book of Yael. The Book of Yael, chapter 3, found on page, 316. It'll be found on page 694. We're going to look at verse 16, 316. Which is 613 backwards, right? This is the year reverse. It says, Yahweh also will roar out of Zion. Do y'all remember what Zion is? Those who keep the 613 commandments. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. Now, you know, remember what Jerusalem is, the city of the priest who teaches peace. Who's teaching peace in these last days? Who is the only man on the face of the earth that is teaching you to turn the other cheek? Israel Hawkins is the only man on the face of the earth that's teaching true, lasting peace to the world. There is no other peace being taught. There's a false peace being taught that is soon to bring massive destruction to this world. It's already bringing destruction already. The throngs, the multitudes and throngs, it says, that have died as a result of not of this way that's being taught by the seven hills are a multitude. They're countless. It says, Yahweh will also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. You get that? They're going to shake. But Yahweh will be the hope of his people, like the great son of Israel Abel told us this morning. Don't fear. Trust in Yahweh. Put your total trust in him. And the strength of the children of Israel. That's where your strength is coming from. These 613 laws that Yahweh gave. That's your firm foundation. You will never fall if you stand on these things and the peaceful solution. Okay, now, where am I? Okay, I left off on that definition of wave. Let's continue. Now, Can you go to the next slide? Okay, now, actually, can you back up a minute? Can you back up? Oh, no, don't back up. Y'all remember Palacios, right? It was in Palacios, Texas. Everybody wrote that down like I asked you to? Okay, great. Just go ahead and go to the next slide. Now, Palacios, Texas is in Matagorda County. It's in southeast Texas, pretty close to Houston. The largest city in Matagorda County is Bay City. And the two main cities in Matagorda County are Palacios and Bay City. Palacios. Look at the area circled. The square miles is 1,613. And the water area is 512. 512 square miles. Now, you think that's a coincidence? Anybody? Raise your hand if you... Okay, great. Okay, great. I know sometimes, guys, don't get me wrong, man. Sometimes I sound really like I'm being... I don't know, sarcastic or something. I'm not trying. This is for the scoffers. You're all believers, okay? You all are believers in the house of Yahweh. I'm not talking to you. There's scoffers out there that don't believe these things, but I don't see how they can't. Yahweh is putting his signature on every single thing that is coming across this podium between the two cherubim. You can't go wrong here. Now, let's look at the next slide. That's Matagorda in Palacios. This is from familyeducation.com, the word Palacio, and it's Spanish. And I'm just going to read from the underlined portion. It says, all are named with Palacio, palace, manor, or great house. Great house. Now, you know, that's a coincidence, huh? Great house. And it also means it's a word derived from the Palladium or Mons Palatinus in Rome, the site of the Emperor Augustus's golden house. Now let's go to the next slide, please. Continuing on this word etymology of Palacios, here's the word Palladium that you just heard about. Mount Palatine. Does anybody remember Mount Palatine? Palatine is where? It's one of the seven hills of Rome, right? Now watch this. Mount Palatine, one of the seven hills of Rome on which the Emperor Augustus built his house. Palace. Palacio, Palacios, Palacios. There you go, right there. Okay? Now, so when that eye was looking at you in that wave, who do you think that eye was looking at? Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23 real quick. Jeremiah 23. Remember, they have their all-seeing eye, right? And they also call themselves the Holy See. That's S-E-E, not S-E-A. The Holy See, because that beast has eyes all around, okay? And they're called Jesuits, and their workers are everywhere. They're everywhere in society, okay? Don't make no mistake about it. Jeremiah 24, verse 23, on page 592 says, am I a father near at hand, says Yahweh, and not a father afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places? Like the seven hills of Rome, can you hide yourself so I cannot see him, says Yahweh? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says Yahweh? Also, for your notes, you can also write down, let's see on that, along those lines, I don't know. Isaiah 29:15. Let's go over there real quick. Isaiah 29:15, found on page 547, says, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel, their plans from Yahweh, whose works are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows us? Okay? You know, you're not hiding anything, seven hills of Rome. Pastor's got his eye on you. Okay? And you know what? He's exposing you. You know, exposing the man of sin is not just saying the Pope is the man of sin. No. The man of sin is a system of sin. Okay? And you know what? This rabbit hole goes very deep. Okay? And this whole system, as you're going to learn here right now, is being exposed for what it actually is. Now, Palacios. Remember what Palacios from the Palatine Mountain. Can we go to the next slide? Palatine Hill. There you see. You have their seven hills. You have the Caelian Hill, the Capitoline Hill, Esquiline Hill, Palatine Hill, Quirinal Hill, and yes, I pronounce that right, Quirinal, because that's where all the bathhouses are located in Rome, and the Viminal Hill. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, this is the Palatine Hill here, and it shows this big fortress, you know, this massive retaining wall that extends around the area of the Palatine available for the imperial building complex. And it shows also at that bottom left slide part of the imperial palace complex on the Palatine Hill overlooking the Circus Maximus. The Circus Maximus. Anybody want to go to the circus? Well, I don't think you will after this sermon. Now, hopefully none of us are going to the circus. Now, I'm going to read to you. I got some more articles here. Now, this one's on the word palace, okay? This is from Wikipedia. It says, a palace is a grand residence, especially a royal residence, or the home of a head of state or some other high-ranking dignitary, such as a bishop or archbishop. The word itself is derived from the Latin name Palladium for Palatine Hill. That's where the word came from. The hill which housed the imperial residences in Rome. We're getting this on the record. Now let me read this to you. The etymology of the word Palatine. The word palace comes from Old French palais, or imperial residence, from Latin Palladium, the name of one of the seven hills of Rome. The original palaces on the Palatine Hill were the seat of the imperial power, while the capital on the Capitoline Hill was the religious nucleus of Rome. And it talks about Emperor Nero and his golden house that he built there on the top of the hill. The word Palladium came to mean the residence of the emperor rather than the neighborhood on top of the hill. Palace meaning government. Only the monarch's residence would be a palace. I'm just reading the pertinent portions here. It says the earliest known, now get this, the earliest known palaces were the royal residences of the Egyptian pharaohs at Thebes. That's the name of the town, T-H-E-B-E-S. Put that right there for you, Thebes. And that's how it's pronounced, Thebes. Featuring an outer wall enclosing labyrinth buildings and courtyards. Now that Thebes is now known as Luxor. Luxor. That's where the word luxury came from. Anybody want to live in luxury? In a big palace somewhere? I don't think you will after this. It says it's known as Luxor. That's what it's known as today. Other ancient palaces include the Assyrian palaces at Nimrud in Nineveh. Now let me show you this one at Nimrud here. Or they call it Nimrud, okay? Some of you may have seen this in the news lately. Because guess what? Their palaces were destroyed by ISIS this year in 2015. You see this palace right here? They blew it to smithereens, okay? It's no longer in existence. Now let me show you where this Nimrud name came from. It says archaeologists believe that the city was given the name Nimrud in modern times after the biblical Nimrod, a legendary hunting hero. The city was identified as the biblical city of Kala. Y'all remember Kala in Genesis 10? If you don't, let's turn over there real quick. Genesis chapter 10. Remember Nimrod and his exploits? Verse 10 on page 7 says, "And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and all of them in the land of Babylon. From that land he went to Assyria, and he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Kala." Okay? "And Rezin between Nineveh and Kala, which is the principal city." So I covered Kala. That's where that word came from. But ISIS is going around blowing up all these pagan monuments because they say it doesn't fit into their religion. I'm not saying that what they're doing is right by any means, okay? We'll never do anything like that. Our way of destroying and bringing down strongholds and images in the hearts and minds of the people is through what? It's through teaching. It's through teaching the laws of Yahweh. It's through peaceful solution. Okay, now let me continue on here. This is Palatine Hill. This is from, again, Wikipedia. It says, the Palatine Hill, it's the centermost of the seven hills of Rome, is one of the most ancient parts of the city. And it's above the Roman Forum, looking down upon it on one side and upon the Circus Maximus on the other side. It is the etymological origin of the word palace. Okay, that's where the word palace comes from. There's all these different words like German, palast. Spanish, Palacios, they all came from that. Okay, now, this is the Circus Maximus. I want to show you, try to zoom out here a little bit. The Circus Maximus is a view of it in Rome at the foot of the Palatine Mountain. It says the Circus Maximus, Latin for greatest or largest circus. And yes, it is a circus in Rome, isn't it? There's clowns everywhere, okay? And the main clown, the main Santa Claus, is called the Pope, okay? But remember, there's the G8 behind him, or the G7 behind him, and some other rich, rich folks. Okay, now, the Circus Maximus says it's an ancient Roman chariot racing stadium and mass entertainment venue located in Rome. Situated in the valley between the Aventine and Palatine Hills, it was the first and largest stadium in ancient Rome and its later empire. I have something on the back here. It's also where, you remember this word Ludi, the Ludi games? They called them Ludi. Pastor wrote about this in, I believe it was, Lost Faith of the Apostles and Prophets. He wrote about these games, these gladiator games and stuff they played in these places. But notice, Ludi ranged in duration and scope from one day or half a day to spectacular multi-venue celebrations held over several days with religious ceremonies and public feasts. Horse and chariot racing was the main thing. Athletics, plays and recitals, beast hunts and gladiator contests. This is what went on there in this place. And who do you think they were throwing to the gladiators? Who do you think they were throwing to the lions? Was it the Christians? Oh, no. No, the Christians founded Rome, okay? The Christians came out of Egypt, okay? We should all know this. The pastor's been teaching us this. Now, let me see where I'm going. I'm almost done. I'm almost out of time. Now, I wanted to remind you, exposing the man of sin. Okay, now, I want to show you a really big palace. Actually, hey, by the way, the Catholic Church is having some sightings, too. Let me show you this. There's some sightings over the Catholic Church. Check this one out. They're getting signs from somebody, too. Watch this. Now, this is a Catholic church in San Antonio. And you see Mary up in the window? And look over here. The Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny's over the church. No, wait a minute. I think it's this. It might be the Baphomet or the bunny. I don't know which one. But either way, it's all evil. And they're getting their signs. There's the Easter Bunny over the San Antonio church. I don't know how that occurred. Wow, must be righteousness, right? Okay, I found that picture and I was like, that looks like an Easter Bunny. I guess they're getting theirs too. Okay, now, Vatican. Here's the big palace right here. It's called the Vatican Palace, okay? And palace, this is going to sound pretty crazy, but this particular palace, now here's the rumor is, there's anywhere from, they're saying there's 11,000 rooms in this palace. 11,000 rooms in this palace. I mean, can you imagine being the maid at this place? I mean, you would have job security. Well, you won't have it forever because the Vatican's fixing to get nuked, okay? So you're not going to have job security at the Vatican. In fact, I'd like to tell that maid she needs to vacate right away because fixing to take place, folks, okay? Yahweh's showing us in very, very strong details now about these men. And, you know, it also had some pictures of, all these 12 men carrying the Supreme Pontiff. The Pontifus Maximus, the chief bridge builder. That's what all the emperors were named, the pontiff, and that's what the Roman Pope is called. Make no mistake about it, the Apostle Kefa had absolutely nothing to do with this. Okay, the Apostle Kefa had absolutely nothing to do with being a pope. Okay, he spoke against it. He said they're all dogs and hogs. They left Yahweh. They abandoned Yahweh. He has nothing. You know, it's like Yahshua is going to say when he comes, you know, get away from me. I don't know what house you're from. You're not from the great house of Yahweh, which is a body of believers. You're from another house. Okay, now I have one last scripture before I go. Go to Jeremiah 23. Okay, I want to read this to you again because I want you to remember that the great palace, the great house, they called it, they didn't care about the people. What they cared about was all their money and their wealth. They didn't care about the flock that Yahweh put that they had. They could care less about them. They cared about money. Verse 23:21 says, "Woe to the pastors or the shepherds." The bishops call themselves shepherds, okay? That, remember, the bishops reside where? In palaces? Oh, that's what I was supposed to read you. Yahweh says, "Woe to the shepherds and pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says Yahweh. "Therefore, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says against the pastors who feed my people. You've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I'm going to visit you for the evil of your doing," says Yahweh. I want to read you one last scripture. I'm sorry, I thought that was my last one, but go to Luke 7:25 real quick. Luke 7:25. I had to go just get this one in because I want to show you the mindset of Yahshua. Luke 7:25. It's on page 789. It says, "But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in expensive garments? Behold, they who are gorgeously dressed and live delicately or luxuriously are in kings' palaces." Go over to Matthew 11:7, just a few pages over. Matthew 11:7, this is my closing scripture. I said that once, but I really mean it this time. 11:7, it says on page 737, "When they had left, Yahshua began to speak to the multitudes concerning Yochanan. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A flimsy reed quaking in the wind? Do you see a flimsy reed up here quaking in the wind? No. Oh no. He's not afraid to teach the laws of Yahweh, even at the expense of going to prison. He's done this. And he stood with the flock. He did not run. He is a righteous shepherd over the house of Yahweh." Verse 8. "But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? Behold, those who wear fine clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he whom about it is written," and Yisrael Hawkins is more than a prophet, "because this is he whom it was written, Yisrael, who will be the one," in Isaiah 49:3, "to glorify my name." Yisrael Hawkins is written about all in the scriptures, all through those scriptures. Isaiah 44, everywhere. Brothers and sisters, you can believe the one sent. Put your full faith and confidence in the one sent. And you know what? Rome, he's got his eye on you, and he's exposing you for who you are. And with that, I'd like to turn it over now, if you'd all please stand, to one of Yahweh's great priests, the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Continuing on with the news this week, of course, we see all around the world, everyone's looking for an excuse to start this all-out war. And of course, we see everyone offering a reason, and we can see it growing closer. We're going to start off with China. China is doing something that was once thought to be unthinkable. They are actually building islands in 300-foot deep water in the China Sea, in what was called, or is still now called, international water, but they're looking to militarize that area and make it part of China. And they actually have an island that's built that's 2,000 square miles, and they're looking to add to that, and they're using it for, once again, military depot. They're landing aircraft on it, and they're calling it the unsinkable aircraft carriers. And, of course, the United States is flying over it daily, being provocative. North Korea, on the other hand, they're preparing for war, and the only words that come out of their mouth that you hear when you hear war, you always hear nuclear war with North Korea, because North Korea knows that when they punch someone, so to speak, when they go to punch another country in the mouth, they're going to swing with everything they have, and they're telling South Korea, back off or we're going to let loose. Then we also have the water aquifers. Pay close attention to what NASA is saying, what scientists are saying. They're saying, due to the latest study done by NASA through imaging, that the aquifers are now being depleted. The majority of them are being depleted faster than the water is being replenished, and there's no end in sight. There's no saving them if we don't stop. But when you listen to them, the answers are not there. You hear someone say, well, what should we do? Well, we don't know. We have to do something. Well, California is now starting to turn off water to towns, entire towns. They're shutting their water off unless they comply with what they want done. So watch this, because you're seeing suffering. Now, they're telling you that we can recycle the water. We can shoot the sewage back out into the lakes and shoot it back into your water facility so you can drink it. But, well, now, look, pay attention to what's taking place in Washington State. Over 200 people in one lake alone was reported to have the neurovirus. Neurovirus, remember that. You contract the neurovirus through the ingesting of vomit or fecal matter. So it's not rocket science to know how these people are getting this. And they tell you now, and you need to be aware of this, if you go swimming in a lake, they're telling you, one, don't drink the water, and two, wash your hands as soon as you get out. Now, that's the reasoning behind it. Then continuing, pay close attention to those aquifers, though, because they're saying that water will soon cost more than oil. Wars will be fought over water if we don't find a way to stop it. And NASA's saying we need to look to the moon for water. That's what they're saying now. But continuing on, of course, Pope Francis releasing his encyclical this week, which is nothing but a letter. It's a letter to all the bishops. And he is calling for a change in climate. Climate change. Pay close attention, because he's talking about problems, but he has no answers. And he won't even tell everybody why they're taking place. He's having to address this, though, due to the pressure coming forth from Yahweh's anointed witness. He has no way around it. And also, of course, shooting that took place in Charleston. Pay close attention to the young man, because you can tell, as he says, he's sitting in the church, and he said he almost didn't do it. Everything is a decision. Everything is a choice. And when people are not trained how to make a right choice, we see deadly, deadly attacks, death, murder. We see all of these things take place. Then also a virtual reality they're using to train children. They're taking children in, putting them in a virtual room with virtual eyeglasses, and they're saying it's a great way of educating. But the problem is, within a week, 50% of the children don't know that it wasn't fake. They think it was real. And then think about how hard the entertainment industry is working so your movies, the things that they're showing through TV, can be more realistic. You have a society that can't tell the difference between what's fake and what's real. At this time, if we could go ahead and play the news. Everyone, please stand. At this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Shalom, everyone.
Where'd everybody come from? We got a house full here today. More. Praise of Yahweh. You see that, Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. We're all yours, Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may sit down. I guess the answer is no, the drought is not over. The wars are not over. The shooting's not over. All of them are getting worse. For those who really want to know about global warming and the drought, what's causing the droughts, what's causing us to run out of water, if you believe your Bible, write this down. In chapter 17 of Revelations, chapter 17, verse 9 and 15, you'll see a religion and a city that sits on seven hills. One of those hills, where Rome was founded, of course, was Palatine Hill. And it's named after a god, as the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins brought out. The verse 18 of that same chapter says, he reigns over the kings of the earth, this religion. This religion, and verses 1 through 5 says, come and I'll show you this person, this religion that brings forth the abominations of the earth. The abominations of the earth is spoken of throughout the Holy Scriptures, and it's breaking Yahweh's laws that cause STDs, that cause the eating of unclean foods that enter the brain, that cause confusion, where they can go to the UN for an answer and sit there all day long talking, working, and go home empty-handed. And one man said, "My head was as full as my hand when I reached for a handful of air when I left there, with no answers." The great president, Barack Obama, says it's like we're all groping in the dark like a bunch of blind men. There is no answers to these questions. Of course, there are answers, but they don't want those answers. Now, chapter 18 of Revelations shows you that these sins have reached into the heavens. Well, what sins are reaching into the heavens? And what is in the heavens that causes the rain not to fall? And when it rains, what causes the hail to come down doing billions of dollars in damage? What causes the high winds and the flooding? What is causing this? The Bible is the only authority that gives you the exact answer and tells you where it's coming from. Well, of course, we're not looking to the quartet anymore for peace or for the answers. So what are we looking for? The Pope, who leads the quartet. Boy, does that make a lot of sense. Well, anyway, your Yisrael Says program has it all. And I was told that it's very soon going to be out to where the smartphones can pick it up. praise Yahweh. You can get it on disc now. You can ask that program any question, and it'll give you the answer. Not from interpretation, not from man-made, but by the inspired prophets and apostles and the Savior. Their words. That's where the answer comes from. Program today, I was so amazed that last news release the House of Yahweh put out says STDs reaching epic proportions are not caused by what you think. That program was picked up and run by 140 million news agencies throughout the world. Yes. The one last week that we put out, Yisrael Hawkins writes open letter to scientists this week explaining why the earth is sick. That's reached way up into the millions. And still climbing. This one today is climbing by about 1,000 an hour, they told me. The open letter is a 19, showing why the earth is sick. That's gone out already by 19,124,000 news agencies. So, Yahweh willing, it will start to make a difference. It already has started. I know the people are falling away from the Palatine Foundation. That's where Rome was founded, Palatine Hill. And, of course, Palatine, Texas, as the great Kohan just showed the films, the Hurricane Bill. That's me, Yisrael Bill Hawkins. That's me. My face was in it, plain as day, and when they put it on television, that's the first time I saw it was today when he placed it on the screen, but I saw my face right away. It's easy to recognize this face. And Yahweh always puts my glasses on, too, if you notice that. Always. Well, these are the things that Yahshua said to look up, for redemption is near. He's saying, I'm very near you. So look up. Here it is. And of course, that was part of it. And Palatine Hill was the foundation of Rome. That's foundation. And that's what we're chipping away at. You know what their foundation is? Remember the word Nimrod? He rebelled. Cush's religion that spread like crazy throughout the earth? That's chapter 10 of Genesis, of course. And, of course, that foundation is what we're chipping at. The Catholic Church did away with the laws of Yahweh, rebelled against the laws of Yahweh. They took the Bible away. They took the Scriptures. If you would just read the history of the Holy Scriptures, the manuscripts written by the prophets, apostles, all of that was taken when they destroyed the temple. They sent the Roman army to destroy the temple. They had already moved to Rome, and this great foundation, this city that sits on seven hills, the leader of the kings of the earth. And I noticed one of the politicians said, "It makes no difference what he says. You just need to follow what he said." And that's what he's talking about when he's got the answer to global warming. He doesn't have the answer. He's got what he's wanting to do right now is depopulate the earth by 6 billion people. And what he wants left is only Catholics, about 1.5 billion Catholics. That's what they want left. And, of course, this has been voiced at first by Malachi Martin, the Catholic writer, the late Malachi Martin. He wrote The Keys of This Blood and also the book on the Jesuits, and showing how they wanted to depopulate the earth, what's taking place right now, and what we're seeing with the buildup in the arms and the armies is part of that great plan. And, of course, it's not, you notice they're not getting away from war. they're building for the wars. And the scriptures show that after a third of the people are dead in that fourth part of the earth where all these wars are going on right now, the killing's taking place and nothing done about it. You can look at the bottom of the screen and like Press TV, and you can see going across the bottom of the screen, 500 killed here, 600 killed here, the displacement of children, 60 million. Yes, this is all going on and nothing to stop it. And everyone sees it. Why are they getting upset, I wonder? Because 9 people got shot here. They're killing, that's the same day that those 9 people got shot here. Do you know how many got killed over there with bombs in that area that Yahweh said a third of the people there would die? In that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates, as chapter 9 and the last few verses says, and they still won't repent after this takes place. It also shows the nuclear bombs are going to be used there. And then we got the man-eating flesh and the guy. Now here, this shows the confusion of the minds. Don't go near the waters is what he should have said. They're contaminated. But he says, when you go swimming, be sure and wash your hands when you get out of the water. Wow, isn't that a brilliant statement? Well, that shows what the same statements are coming forth from the United Nations. The United Nations, the EU, Russia, the United States, the Great Quartet. I've assigned a minister not very long from now, one of the great priests of the house of Yahweh. He'll be bringing you some information, great information, on the quartet. Airstrikes in Pakistan kill 50, at least 50. Headlines. Casualties in Iraq, that was the war we won, wasn't it? Isn't that the war we went over there and won and got everything peaceful now? Casualties in Iraq? That must be a big misprint. No, it's not a misprint. Casualties in Iraq, 3,221. And this is on a weekly, monthly basis that this is given out. Afghanistan's deadliest year. Civilian casualties, 10,000. That was another war we won. Still going, but we won it. Looks like we may have won a small battle, but I don't think we won the war. I don't think anyone is winning any of these wars against sickness and disease either. Death from prescription drugs, the new epidemic sweeping across America, killing thousands of people. 37,485 people died from drugs, a rate fueled by overdoses on prescription pain. Why are they suffering pain? Why on earth are the people, why won't they repent of what is causing the pain? The scripture shows you what is causing the pain. Why are you so angry, Cain? That's in Genesis 4 and verse 5. Cain, why are you so angry? Why are you so downcast? What occurred to your health? Why is it falling? You're not even acceptable into my kingdom, Cain. That's what he said. That's what he's shown throughout the Holy Scripture. In all the world, your King James Version says, in Jude 11, verse 11. Jude 1, verse 11. It only has one chapter. Hope you're writing these down, especially the newcomers. No, we got a bunch of newcomers here today, everyone knows. Anyway, he shows you the answer. Yahweh shows you the answer to global warming. It's not fossil fuels. That's the biggest lie that was ever told, is the fact that some dinosaurs died and we got a bunch of oil from it. And we've never run out of the oil from that last dinosaur. He must have been one buku of a dinosaur. And you know what's coming next is this amount of chickens they're killing from bird flu and they're burying them. Boy, just think of the oil that's going to bring us here real soon. Don't worry about oil. We're going to have a big supply of oil. Well, it's just more confusion. Like the she-wolf that nourished Romulus and Romulus. The killers who founded Rome, well, that's about what it was founded on. And that's what your book says, the book of mythology. Worldwide cancer mortality statistics, 2012, it keeps rising by about 43%. Wow. That may be where all the pain is coming from. They're killing themselves before they take the treatment from the doctors that kills them. 2.4 million alcohol related deaths worldwide. This is the shape of the world that I'm reading you here. You can get the news yourself. Child casualties. Does anyone care about this? Child casualties highlighted. Brutal cost of Yemen conflict. This was what they were trying to solve the other day. And the great United Nations, the great United Nations. It's like our great Supreme Court that said, yes, Sodom is fine. Go ahead. They didn't ask Yahweh about it. They didn't ask the scriptures. They didn't ask the apostle Shaul that said, do you know that Sodomites are not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven? Put down 1 Corinthians 6:9. Child casualties highlight brutal cost of Yemen conflict as civilian deaths mount. Well, we had 9 here in the United States. That's the one we're fussing about. That was done with one pistol, so I understand. One pistol. Think how many we're killing with bombs. Does it make a difference whether we kill them with bombs or what? You know, think of the little children over there right now that's laying in wherever, dying, slow death from those bombs that are still going off now. They're still pounding Yemen, plus hundreds of other places. Illegal drugs cause 250,000 global deaths, and the Supreme Court says it's okay. Yes, make it okay for the states to sell these. It was illegal at one time. There's your marijuana plant in the hand, by the way, that they're showing. 250,000 global deaths yearly now. Putin, Ukraine war, not our fault. U.S. must stop meddling. You see, they're blaming each other. Accusers. I can tell you right now, the women in the house of Yahweh and the men, you need to take note that Satan is going to try to cause you trouble. She even said that she was going to reign over the stars of Yahweh, which is women, of course, and that's the 14th chapter of Isaiah. You should read that again or pull it up on the Israel Says program and study it. That's a fantastic program. You can find the answer to any question in about 5 minutes on that thing. Not from interpretations, but from the scriptures of the apostles and prophets. Praise Yahweh. Our attention span getting shorter. Now, this shows what the news there showed a while ago, but it's even worse, I think, than what they are showing. It's a big problem. And books are being written on it. Articles are being written on it. Just a few minutes of watching the normal television show is deadly to the mind. Short attention span linked to TV. Well, if you can't learn, you know, then Satan's got you whipped. You know, suck marijuana in your brain. This keeps any new information from entering. And then put a television set in front of them or a quick-moving computer, which also defiles the brain. Turn the worldly music on, which you can almost feel your IQ sinking when you're listening to worldly music, but you get to where you don't have sense enough to know what it's doing to your brain. And there's where Satan's got you. Then you wonder, why did my parents come to the house of Yahweh? Well, you should have known by now, but you passed it up. I would suggest you get back into it, but know that Satan is going to try to divide and conquer. That's always been her strategy. Short attention span linked to TV. Peace talks in Geneva between Yemen's warring factions ended Friday without producing ceasefire agreement. It says the United Nations sponsored by a 5-day talks after delegations from both parties refused to sit down. They went there and even refused to sit down. Did you get that? They went there to talk, but they refused to sit down. Write down for that article right there, Matithya, or if you have a King James Version, write down Matthew 24:12. It says, because iniquity shall abound in this generation, verse 33 and 34, the Savior doing the speaking, because iniquity shall abound. That's take a leap forward. In this generation, love will grow cold. They even refuse to sit down. They hate each other so much right now. They don't know why they hate each other. These killings that you see, they're not racial. You know, we have white people killing white people. We have black people killing black people. I can tell you for sure this arms that we bear, as the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins brought out, it's not swords, knives, and shields and guns and bombs that the house of Yahweh, the arms that they're bearing, it comes forth from the pen and the mouth. And what we're doing, we're showing what the Catholic Church did. They took away the scriptures for over 1,500 years. Yes, when they destroyed the temple, they moved all the artifacts to Rome. This is a matter of history. I know nobody knows it but us. But we'll send you a copy of it. Or you could go on the internet and get it. Or you could go to the library and get it. But if you'll look up General Titus, or just Titus. Just look up Titus. And it will show you the Roman general sent by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians who had just moved to Rome. They had their headquarters built there for many, many years. Before this, they moved all the artifacts from the temple to Rome, including the Book of Yahweh. Yes, it was called the Book of Yahweh, Isaiah 34, verse 16. It was called the Book of Yahweh. If you have a King James Version, they'll have Book of the Lord. Now, Pat Robertson just admitted again this week that Israel Hawkins was correct in saying his name was Yahweh. A lady asked him a question. They're getting a lot of questions off of this now, because he's admitted that the name is Yahweh. It's not Lord or God. And this is what he said again. It's not Lord or God, it's Yahweh. That is his name. That's the name that was given in the Holy Scriptures. Of course, the book, the great Jeremiah, you have King James Bible. It's Jeremiah 23, verses 25 and 26, tells you they took the name of Yahweh, they removed it, and caused the people to forget his name for Lord. That was a prophecy, and it took place. Daniel 7:25 shows that this same group would make war against the saints. Acts 7, Stephen says, "Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted?" Right now, people are fleeing. 160 million people displaced right now, fleeing from persecution, from strife that is going on in our world today. That's the same thing that was going on in the Roman Empire. And that's what the Catholic Church, the Pope, and of course quite a few others, they're wanting to put back together to depopulate the earth. Well, they're going to use the quartet. I guarantee you, Scripture shows that. And if I get to it in time, I know I'm out of time. But 60 million people fleeing chaotic lands. Chaotic lands. That means those where they go in a church and kill 9 people. Is that the chaotic land? Or are they referring to that country over there? How about the one where they go in and place bombs and kill a bunch of people? Is that a chaotic land? Why do we call it chaotic when it's over there and not here? The whole world is chaotic at this time. The whole world, as your scripture said. You know, you want to know why? Matthew 24:12, because iniquity abounds. For those who don't know what iniquity means, you need to look it up in Strong's Concordance. But I can tell you, it's doing away with the law. Well, didn't Jesus do away with the law? Yes, Jesus Christ is a false name of 2 gods of Egypt that they took out, the Catholic Church, the catechisms of the Catholic Church, show this plainly. I'll send anyone a copy, free, that wants it. Or tell you where you can get it online or in the book, Yisrael Says, a program. It was replaced. The name Yahshua, meaning Yahweh will save his people from their sins. Yes, Yahweh is still in full control. He's letting man go his own way to prove what sin brings. The sins have reached into the heaven, and what is it bringing? It's bringing drought, famine. They shut off Mountain House, a city called Mountain House, California, shut their water off totally. They shut the water off totally, because the sins have reached into heaven. That's Revelations 18, 1 through 5. And Yahweh says, stop sinning. Come out from among them. Don't partake of their sins. That's in that chapter. What is sin? 1 John 3, 4 tells you, he who transgresses the law also sins. He who sins also transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of Yahweh's laws. Now, verse 7 and 8 makes it even plainer. He who practices sin, don't let anyone deceive you, it says. He who practices sin is of the devil. Where does that put Pope Francis, all Catholics, all Christians who practice sin? Sin is the laws of Yahweh. They're all saying the laws are done away with. That's iniquity. When you teach people the laws are done away with, that's iniquity. It causes people, causes the whole world to sin. You take the book of Yahweh away from them and teach them, they teach them your laws of sin, practicing sin, which that's what the Catholic Church does. It's teaching them to be sodomites. It's teaching the girls to be whores, the mother of harlots. It's teaching everything against what is in your Holy Scriptures. It's teaching everything against the Ten Commandments. You see any Catholics keeping the Fourth Commandment? Most of the people don't know what the Fourth Commandment is. Oh, that's how little they know. That's why Barack Obama said we really need to start studying our Bibles. I was so pleased when I heard that. I know that all of America now is probably going to jump the gun and get right after the Bible studies, right? Well, we're trying to get them to. 60 million people fleeing chaotic lands. You know, that's why they came to America. My ancestors came to America to fleeing the persecution, knowing they were going to get killed if they didn't. They came to America before it was ever discovered by Columbus, supposedly. Yes, there's millions of people here when he got here. But anyway, they wiped most of them out. Most of the people I don't know if you read about the huge group of people in Mexico that they thought came from India for years and years. Their ancestors did. Finally, they examined their DNA and found out they were Hebrews. What have I told you for 60 years? You know, I've been preaching for 60 years, over 60 years now. Man, oh man. I'm 19 years old. But I've been preaching for over 60 years now. Why is the U.S. building up arms in Eastern Europe? Oh, boy. Well, it's certainly not for peace. The fueling states, the United States, is also fueling tensions and urating its European allies, anti-Russian phobia, because it plans to use the current conflict to expand its military presence and hence strengthen its influence in Europe. There is a growing risk that the U.S. military strategy on NATO's eastern flank will take on a life of its own, disregarding realities and Europe's political interest, and gather momentum that will be difficult to retreat to reverse. However, we hope that common sense will prevail and that the situation in Europe will be prevented from sliding into a new military confrontation and devastating consequences. Well, common sense won't prevail. The confused minds will prevail. And I can tell you exactly, or show you in your scriptures, if you'll turn there to Revelation 6, what we're seeing right now is the quartet in action here, and the Catholic Church that leads the quartet. In Revelation 6, it says, I saw the Lamb, that is Yahshua Messiah. That's his name. Any concordance, any Bible dictionary, will tell you that it's not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the name of two gods chosen by Constantine that chose these gods. We have history of this. We'll send it to you free. And they put these names in the Bible to replace the Creator, the Savior's name, which was Yahshua. Yahshua is given in several places in their Bible. They failed to get it out of all of them, but they tried to change his name, and they put the words Jesus and Lord. But that lamb it's speaking of was the lamb that died for our sins and the sins of the whole world, our past sins. He's not going to die again now. So those are, you're told to repent and convert. That's in Acts 3:19. Repent and convert so your sins may be blotted out by the blood of the Savior. They won't be blotted out unless you repent and convert to Yahweh's way. And Yahweh will give you a short trial. It's going to be a short trial now. That's what he calls it in the scriptures. And a short gathering. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, one of the four, and we call it living creatures, but it's active. It means active, one of the four active powers that was shown in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, and of course from there on throughout the book of Daniel, even shows it in the last days, and calls it the last days, when once again the Bible, or the book of Yahweh, in the last days, the book of Yahweh will be brought and given back to man. And Daniel said he saw two others, the two witnesses, and they're standing there teaching on a future day, he says, standing there teaching about this end time that we're in right now. Couldn't be plainer in prophecy. But one of these four, and I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon on it had a bow and a crown. He had authority to use war, to teach war, to guide in war. That crown is authority. The bow is of course, war. Was given unto him. It was actually given unto him to make war, as Daniel the prophet showed. This beast that comes against Yahweh in the 7th chapter of Daniel, he comes against Yahweh's saints and his house and Yahweh himself. And of course, in Revelation 17, it even shows that he will make war with the Lamb. That this city that sits on seven hills will make war with the Lamb, which that's what he's doing now. The Lamb is the high priest over the house of Yahweh, Hebrews 10:21, high priest over the house of Yahweh. He says, on this unity of the word of Yahweh, on this unity I will build my house, I will establish my house. That's his foundation, is the word of Yahweh, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it this time. Well, Daniel 7:25 and 26 shows that he's only given this religion that sits on seven hills is only given power. He's given this authority up until a certain time period, and then it's going to be given to the saints of the Most High. That's Daniel 7:26. Now, Revelation 11 shows the same thing, that it's given to the saints. But he tells you what a saint is. A saint is those that keep the commandments of Yahweh. Your King James will say commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus. But it actually says in the original, it'd be given to the saints of the Most High, those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. Yes, Yahshua is now testifying on our behalf in heaven. He sits as our high priest over the house of Yahweh. He's the one leading this work. And of course, the seven hills of Rome is trying to come against us, trying to put us down, but there's no way they can do it. You know, you can't put down the truth. We got it in black and white right here. We keep the commandments of Yahweh, and we have Yahshua's testimony to back us up. Well, here now, he's given this crown and the bow to make war, given to him, and he went out conquering with this war and to conquer. This Catholic Church, who's the leader of the kings of the earth, sits on the seven hills. Palestine, Rome is where their foundation started. Their foundation is doing away with the laws of Yahweh. That's their foundation. Started in Genesis 10, and the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians were the ones that took the temple by control. These were all Levites, by the way, and they took the temple by control. Later, they said, let's move to Rome and to Babylon and destroy this whole thing, get rid of it. And prophecy said they would. It said Mount Zion's going to be plowed like a field. The Jerusalem is going to be like the high places in a forest, be vacated. Mount Zion is the temple. Every stone is going to be removed. That's what Yahshua said in Matthew 24. All of those prophecies have come to pass. Well, look at verse 3 now. As we stand here talking, and I just read you what will be history from these days on, all the wars and everything and people being displaced, people suffering all over the world and being shot and bombs being used to kill anyone. They don't care who they kill, just kill someone, they told the man, one of the people that was trying to kill. Like the two boys that set the bomb at the marathon. You know, that wasn't racism. They want to blame racism, but it's not. People all hate each other, as the scripture says. Every man's hand is against that of his neighbor in this time period because of iniquity, because they have done away with Yahweh's laws of peace, joy, love, and so forth. You know, this last feast, it's going to be going this feast too. We got a feast coming up in about 2.5 months. But Yahweh says that he has to teach you to rejoice. The world doesn't know how to rejoice. The only thing they're being taught right now is how to hate. Take advantage of their neighbors, eat the wrong kind of food, bringing their health down to where it's that they're sick, Yahweh said, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, killing themselves on pain pills from the doctor. Half of them can't even talk. They can't even tell them where they're hurting, but they're hurting. It's a sad mess the world is in. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second creature say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was granted to him who by the one is sitting on the white horse, the religious system. Sitting on a white horse and a crown is given to him that's leading the kings of the earth that sits on seven hills. He granted this power to this red horse, four horses. That's the quartet or the four kingdoms. What is come down to us from the four kingdoms of Daniel 7, Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Power was granted to him. Now this comes from Satan himself, as is Revelations 12. Verse 1 through 3 shows, and remember 1 John 3, 7 and 8, don't let anyone deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but he who practices sin is of the devil. He's serving the devil, Satan. And that's what the Catholic Church, why do you think that they wouldn't repent right now and turn? They have the scriptures in front of them. Why aren't they repenting? Yahshua said it. He said they belong to Satan, and what Satan tells them to do, they're going to do it. Their mind is that twisted right now. The confusion is that strong in the people's minds today. It makes me think of my brother-in-law, who was a Free Will Baptist preacher. I think he's dead now. Not for sure, but I think he is. But he got so angry when I'd show him a scripture, and I showed him several scriptures, he got so angry he took his King James Version and threw it against the wall. To take peace from the earth. It was granted to him to take peace from the earth. All these articles that I just read you, you can look it up on yourself for yourself. Just turn a TV set on to watch the world news, like Press TV or something like that, and look at the bottom, going across the bottom of the screen, and you'll see the wars going on. How many killed there here today? How many killed there today? How they were killed? Was it with a bomb, a knife, a gun? Yes, they had the United States, the chaotic United States on there, for one man shooting nine people, one boy, just a young boy shooting nine people. Well, what do you think is taking place here? This was put here for you to understand. Peace coming from the quartet, of course, and this is granted to one of them, to one of them to take peace from the earth. And that they should kill one another. You see that? I told you this 60 years ago. And the killings have got worse every year since I brought that first sermon. Should kill one another. And there was given to them also a great sword. That is, great nuclear bombs, which are shown in Revelation 17. I think a person would pretty much be a fool if he disagreed that what Yahshua showed us here, that was Yahshua, by the way, Revelations. This was given to Yahshua. If you'll read the first chapter of Revelations, first few verses, you'll see that that prophecy there was all given to Yahshua. He inspired Yochanan. He has great power in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. He has power. The microorganisms obey him. He still has reserved a group of microorganisms in the firmament, a small group. He hasn't reserved them all, because the prophecy wouldn't be fulfilled if he did. But he has reserved a group of microorganisms in the firmament for the protection of Yahweh's house. Yes. And you're going to see that more and more. You're going to see the messages that are coming from Yahshua more and more also as time proceeds here. But you're also going to see nuclear war very, very soon. It's first going to get rid of a third of the people in that fourth part of the earth. It's going to start there. That's where it's going to start. There's several hundred people, thousands of people getting killed there now, but not near the number that would be a third part of people. We have about close to 8 billion people now on earth. They're wanting to about 7.5, a little over 7.5 billion people. They're wanting to get rid of 6 billion people. And the Pope is wanting only those who are Catholics to be left alive. If his wish came true, and he had only Catholics, they'd be fighting just like they were fighting in Israel before they moved to Rome. They'd be fighting each other because they don't have anything to keep them into unity. Some of them are worshiping one God that says this. Others are worshiping. Remember, Catholic means universal, which means they worship all gods. Well, the gods disagree themselves. And a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That's what Yahshua told you. That's the reason Yahweh is going to, in these last days, establish his house. Yahshua is going to bring it to complete unity. There won't be anyone there in that kingdom that will not be in full unity with the one sent and the high priest Yahshua and the creator Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services next to the next speaker. I love you!